Looks like no intro. You gotta, why don't you hum us into
are we ready? Are we ready to go?
Yeah, we're rolling. We're all live. Right.
No intro.
That's my fault. It's playing, but you're not hearing it. Go ahead.
Oh, Bill. Well, you know, things happen. What's going on? You know, it's the audio visual department here at America Unplugged. You know, it's just I don't know what to say. We were supposed to fire Tom last week. We didn't do that, and this is what we get. So next week, Tom's going to get it, seriously. Yeah, what's going on?
No good deed goes unpunished. I just ordered Tom's execution.
That's it. Let's off with his head. I mean, what the hell? All right, it's America Unplugged. I hope everybody's doing well. My name is Billy Ray Valentine, Billy the Kid. I'm here with the usual suspects and a very distinguished guest. We're going to go to him first in the interest of time. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Mark Devlin is gracing us with his presence here on America Unplugged. He's never been here before. Say what's up to the people. Mark, how are you?
What's up, fellas? Less of the distinguished, if you don't mind.
Okay, not so distinguished. Mark Devlin is here. Tell them what's up, sir. You are coming over to the United States. You set up several speaking dates throughout the East Coast, the best coast of the United States. Nah, man, I love California. That's where my biggest listeners are. So what's up, Cali? You know, what's up, West Coast? But he will be here in the East Coast. Tell them what's up. Tell them all about it, where you're going to be presenting and where they can find tickets. Let them know, sir.
All right. So I'm coming out to the Eastern Seaboard of the United States as of next week. And initially, I was going to be doing 4 shows, bringing my information regarding the music industry and the true nature of it, the agendas that it's really used to push. Unfortunately, as it turns out, it's nothing to do with fun and entertainment, but it's everything to do with mass mind control and social engineering. So that's what I get into. And I wanted to bring my information and unpack it for audiences at 4 shows in 4 different
Author cities. Of Hidden History, Crimes and Cover-Up.
We just got the intro.
Oh, yeah, there we are.
We got it in the end.
Go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry about that, man. Go ahead.
All right. So I was going to be hitting 4 cities, which were going to be Boston, Philadelphia, New York, and New Haven in that order. Unfortunately, I've had to take the reluctant decision today to cancel the New York City event. And this is because there was just not enough uptake of tickets in advance to justify the event going ahead. There are operating costs involved. And unfortunately, if people don't buy their tickets up front, then these events can't go ahead. And the New York one was trailing behind the others in terms of tickets sold. So I'm still going ahead with the other 3 events. And that's going to kick off on Wednesday in Boston. That's Wednesday, 3rd of April, 7 p.m. at Union Tavern in Somerville, Boston. Then I'm off to Philadelphia next Saturday, 6th of April, going to be at the Misconduct Tavern from 6 p.m. The New York event was going to be next Sunday, 7th of April. Unfortunately, as I say, that one's had to be cancelled. So anyone that's bought tickets for my New York event, if they want to get along to the New Haven or the Philly, then the ticket will be honored there. Or if they can't get to any of those, then I will, of course, be issuing a refund. And then the final event is on Wednesday, the 10th of April. That's in New Haven, Connecticut at Bar New Haven. And that's from 7 p.m. As well. So each event lasts about 3 hours. And it's me just really unpacking everything I've got about music's military and mind control connections. That's what I'm calling the presentations. And of course, there shouldn't be any connections of that nature whatsoever if music really is all about fun and entertainment. But as I'll be presenting, unfortunately, when it comes to the controlled corporate industry, it's about anything but that.
All right, man. Fantastic, man. Thank you for coming on. Everybody who can do it, go out and check out Mark speaking live. It's not every time he comes here to the United States. It's been a while, actually. He's going to be here, and it's going to be a good time. And I've seen Mark's presentations firsthand, and he is a pro 100% when he gets up there and does his thing. So it'll be money well spent, and it's not even that expensive. So go ahead and source the places where you can find the tickets. We're going to put links in the description of the show, hopefully, and we'll go from there. Mark, anything else you want to let them know?
It's been a minute since I was out there. We did the event Shoot the Moon in 2019 with yourself and Crow and Jason, of course, and
right.
a bunch of other speakers as well. So it's been 5 years. Been 5 years since I was out there doing a presentation. So looking forward to these three events, which are going ahead. And you can get tickets for those from Ticket Tailor. So hopefully you can post the links in the show notes there. But Ticket Tailor is the vendor that I'm using for it. And the easiest way to get details of all the events is just to go to my website, djmarkdevlin.com/events. Just go to that website, go to the events page. They're all detailed there. So the tickets are $35. I hope people would agree that that's, you know, a reasonable amount for 3 hours of information, plus a Q&A interactive bit at the end. I know people are strapped for cash right now, but I've tried to keep the tickets as low as possible and to reflect good value. So that's the deal for the three events, Philadelphia, Boston, New Haven.
All right, fantastic. Mark, thank you for coming on. You guys want to say something to Mark before he's out, guys? Tony or Don?
Mark, are you just, I don't know much about your subject matter, but it sounds like you may be straying into the world of Dave McGowan. Did you read Weird Scenes Inside the Canyon?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Dave McGowan was a big influence on the style of research that I do. So I get into those military connections through these prominent musicians. And, you know, when you look at the 60s music, as Dave did in that book, you just find connections for days into the world of the military, military intelligence. So that's a big part of what I look at. Yeah.
And now with the Diddy situation, it keeps getting worse, you know, and Mark and I did a show about that about a month ago, I want to say, almost a month ago. And then it just completely blew up into something else altogether. You know, they're raiding his properties. He's got, you know, sex trafficking going on. He seems to be allegedly the Epstein of the hip hop community. He's got freaking cameras in his home. Taping stuff, you know, videos that say take that on it, allegedly. I don't know if that's true or not, but probably. Okay. There was a plane that took off from Florida. It didn't have him in it. What did it have in it, right? That's the question, right? Because it took off right when everything was being raided. So
it's just like the car in which the notorious B.I.G. Biggie Smalls was murdered in a drive-by shooting. Didn't have Puffy in it either. He was riding in a separate car. Lucky. Oh,
he's a very opportunistic guy, very slippery guy, very slimy guy. Jay-Z's next.
He seemed lucky, but it seems like his luck might be running out. If that dude stays out of jail now, it'll be a friggin' miracle.
Jay-Z's next. Let's knock all the dominoes down.
Let's hope the guards don't fall asleep if he does go to jail, and they don't leave the sheets around conveniently for him.
You know, he might have a very good time in jail, like Mark and I speculated earlier.
Well, he could enjoy himself. I think, you know, he could have a great time there.
Yeah. Tone, you want to say something to Mark before he takes off?
Just thank Mark for coming on. I've been a fan of your work for a long time. Heard you on many podcasts with Billy and elsewhere, and good luck on the tour.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Fantastic, sir. We'll see you soon. I'll see you next week, man. I'm going to get to see Mark Devlin. I'm going to take some pics, throw them up on the X, right?
That's you will, man. I mean, now that there's no event in New York, we can just, you know, socialize and chill out. It's all good.
Yeah, man. I'm going down to New Haven. I'm going there because you don't have to give me an excuse to go see Skull and Bones. So I'm definitely going out there. So that'll be fun. All right. Thank you, Mark. Be good, man. I'll see you soon. Safe travels.
Take care, Mark.
Okay, bye.
That is the Mark Devlin, ladies and gents. Tickets are sluggish, man. I know people are struggling with the dough, you know, with the cash and all that. So I get it, you know, but go support him in the other one so he doesn't have to cancel any further ones, you know. There we go. Apparently, he did a lot better in Australia. Everybody wanted to go see him over there. You know, it's a different frame of mind here in the United States, apparently. We're scattered around the alt media, but here we are, America Unplugged. Let me introduce the guy. I'm sorry. I know Mark had to go, so I wanted to get him in quick. Tony Arterburg, the wisest of all the wolves. Tell them what's up, sir.
Well, it's good to see you as always, Billy. Good to see Don. It's a highlight of my Saturday and my weekend to do this show. And I would say, you know, every week we come in with a new show. We're going to have all the intros playing. I have to step back and say we have freeworld.fm. And I'm not streaming over there right now because something didn't hook up to that either. I've had the worst, like the last 4 days, like my main computer doesn't work, all that stuff. But we're doing it anyway. I feel like I want to be like Bill O'Reilly and just, you know, we're going to do it live. You know,
hey, we had some issues with Rockfin this morning.
I had issues. All across the board. Pray for us, ladies and gentlemen. We're getting, I try to do the David Knight show on Thursday. I had to move from my computer to my phone because I couldn't use StreamYard or anything. I couldn't use any of my stuff. It's the same thing. So it's 3 days of me working on that, and I still get here. We go to play. The intro doesn't play, doesn't go out on Free World. That's just that. I think mathematically, that's improbable that we would have the same problems for 3 or 4 days in a row, and you work on them. So let's just enjoy the show, and it'll go out on the podcast, and hopefully it's streaming on some platforms right now. I couldn't do Rumble either. By the way,
is it a cyber attack from the Russians?
Russians.
Is that what?
I bet we would have a better internet connection in Moscow than we do here.
Oh, yeah.
Internet access.
I worked with a guy from Dominican Republic probably 10 years, no, less than that. Less 10 years ago or so. But and he used to always marvel at the internet in the United States. He said, Dominican Republic is way faster. And I'm thinking, what? Kind of society if we build the Dominican Republic's a postage stamp compared to us. What kind of resources do they have? And so our internet sucks, but now I don't think it's any accident, guys. Because my laptop, I've had to restart it 2 days in a row to get on StreamYard. I haven't had that problem for a long time. So maybe, who knows, man? Maybe they know where these shows are. You know, maybe they're targeting these independent platforms. I don't know, is YouTube any trouble? I don't know.
No, I mean, I had a hell of a time trying to get the stream up on Rockfin this morning. Don't know why.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm waiting for my Rodecaster to go. Like at this point, like it's only a matter of time. I mean, it happens every 3 months, so it's only a matter of time for that to boil down. But let's start talking about this, man. So the bridge collapsed in Baltimore. I don't know if you guys have discussed it in your travels, man. I know Tony discussed it a little bit. Did you get into it, Don, at all? What do you think of it? And Don, keep me honest, man. We didn't get to talk about this in the pregame because we were rushing as per usual. But RFK's pick for vice president.
I have some thoughts on that. I got to confess that I don't really – I suspect that this bridge incident in Baltimore, which isn't that far from me, is probably going to be one of those stories I talked about a few Substacks ago where it's briefly in the news and then it just disappears. I don't think you'll ever find out exactly what happened. I see some predictable suspects have tried to claim it happened because we don't have enough illegal immigration or something. It's mind-blowing. And I understand what little I know about it is that I guess it happened in the middle of the night and there were five workers on the bridge when there was construction going on at 1 a.m. on a bridge. And wouldn't the bridge have, if construction was going on, wouldn't the bridge have been closed? I mean, there's good questions there, obviously, to ask. But anytime a story like this gets brief publicity, it never gets resolved. So you're never going to eventually really even find out what happened, I don't think. But I don't have a whole lot. Tony probably knows more about it than I do. I haven't studied enough, frankly, because I don't know. It just didn't grab my attention as much as some other stories. And I just figure it's going to be in the news for a couple of days and then it's going to go join the subterranean rabbis and, you know, the trucker rally at the Texas border.
I forgot all about the subterranean rabbis already. Thank you for bringing
that. They're right back underground, man. You know, doing stuff with their high chairs and whatever they're doing. And
collapsing bridges. The hell? Let's link all the theories together. Tony, what are you thinking, though? Like, seriously, like, what's up with it? Like, I've been following it to a degree. I don't know if there's any real evidence for any, like, you know, foul play here as far as, you know, like a false flag or a cyber attack. But then again, I haven't been keeping my ear to the ground as I normally do this week. I've been sick. So tell me about it. What's up?
Well, you're exactly right. And Don's right about the event. Nobody will remember it in a month or two, except for people like us that will bring it back up in reference to whatever next thing happened. Because, you know, when I was a kid and we had the Exxon Valdez, Now, I still remember that. Now, that's it's a different kind of disaster because it was an oil tanker.
Right.
But still, like, again, these were epical events. This is huge. Like, this is major infrastructure that's destroyed. It's going to take years. And this country, this version of America, Don calls it 2.0, we can't build anything anymore. I mean, we built the Empire State Building at the height of the Great Depression just in time for King Kong to go climb up. And this was 1933. We built the Empire State Building. You know, we had that, and then a plane flew into that, by the way,
yes.
29 bomber. And it didn't collapse. Didn't collapse into its own footprint. But you see, we used to build things, and now we don't. And so you have literally a mayor that's been the transportation secretary that was named Pothole Pete. He was pothole because he couldn't fix the infrastructure of South Bend, Indiana. And like a humiliation ritual. They get these people and they put them out in front, and then the controlled demolition happens.
Didn't the mayor of Baltimore make some ridiculous statements about, I don't know if it was related to the bridge, but maybe it was, but if it isn't, I have no confidence in him being able to oversee anything, but he claimed something that white men should be afraid of him ruling Baltimore. And so, I guess he's constructed, I guess, the crime capital of the world, but I mean, what kind of ridiculous, and I don't know if it was in response maybe to the bridge, but I mean, what, these are the leaders? What kind of
sounds like the it's the typical psychosis of where we can't build any, it's just all a part of the humiliation ritual. We can't build, we're a pitiful giant. We have all the money, all the resources, you know, all the engineers, and then we can't use anything. What happened to the Army Corps of Engineers? Why isn't this as like, if it's crucial to get infrastructure across, then why don't we just work on it now? And I looked there's a headline on Zero Hedge that there may be like gas pockets or anything that are underneath the ship or something like underneath that they can't move it. Or I don't know. It's like the BP oil spill that went on for and the Russians were like, why don't you just put a tactical nuclear weapon over the top of it and blow it? You know, like other countries are watching us like, what, you know, they're just.
Is where the incompetence comes in. The incompetence factor comes in where let's hypothetically say we actually went to the moon in 1969 on, you know, handheld calculator batteries. But let's say we did. It would be obvious. Wouldn't have needed to have a moon hoax, because now there's no way we could possibly do it with the kind of ingenuity we have now. We have such incompetence. So I want to see what's the bridge is unusable now at this point. Will they just eventually just scrap it and just say, well, you know, we can't. It takes money because I don't see them being able to do any major repairs on a bridge in America 2.0. I'm sorry, because I mean they're so dependent now on cheap labor and people that aren't skilled. They just want to pay look what's happening to Boeing, the Boeing whistleblower that was found dead recently, with the doors flying off airplanes and the bolts not being tightened because there's no management. Everything is cutting corners. Between that and DEI, I don't think they're good. You know, throw out the corruption and the conspiracy, but the incompetence factor, you can't underestimate that. We are monumentally incompetent now, and we can't do anything. And so I'll be waiting for that bridge to be repaired. They might have to send out to a real first world country like France or, you know, Spain or somebody. Maybe they can send some people over, but I don't think we can do it.
We already farm out the roads. We have foreign entities that the retirement fund in Spain built the roads in Texas. Those are the toll roads. It's a retirement fund for the country of Spain.
Wow.
You know, that bridge did collapse like Legos, man. It was scary to see, you know, that. I mean, you know, I don't know anything about this stuff, man, but just the optics, I'm sitting there and it just melted down very quickly. I'm afraid of any bridge here in the United States. What's keeping them up at this point? But I will bring this up. I remember, I'm old enough to remember, during COVID in China, they built a hospital in 3 weeks or 3 days. It was one of that.
It was fast.
That's what makes us America. America, too. I mean, we have built a culture. You know, like I said, the idea that we called other countries shithole countries. I mean, I don't know. Maybe the only reason why some very small countries couldn't do better than we do is because they don't have the wealth, the resources, but we have such monumental stupidity. And you know, I don't know how many, you know, young people know how to change a light bulb at this point. We have so much incompetence. And then you throw in you have workforces that don't speak the same language, and plus you're paying them nothing. So, I mean, this is just a recipe for disaster. So it'll be anxious to see. And it's because I, you know, what I've heard is, didn't we have a $1 trillion Build Back Better? What was the infrastructure? I'd like to see some of that in action. Exactly. Well, they haven't fixed it. Yeah. You know, again,
We're building stronger. We're building stronger chairs for the drag queens to sit on, Don, for the drag queen story time, just to support obese drag queens.
Dude, talking about that, and I want to come back. I want to come back to the bridge issue. I don't. There's a couple of things that I want to bring up, but just on that. And I'm not saying that Lizzo is a drag queen, but damn it, what the optics here? Like, who is thinking about this to have this woman perform at this Democratic fundraiser? Like, Lizzo, when I heard that, I was like, what did they do? Lizzo, of all people, and all the things that she's been accused of, you're going to prop her up on stage? This is not a good deal. But anyway.
She symbolizes the new, you know, I was telling Jeff Rentz last night. I was on their special appearance on Friday night. We were talking about, you know, in my novel, The Unreals, right. I had one of the characters that was coming up with the Book of Lists. It used to be a book called, like, the smallest minority groups in the world. Now, of course, there'd be the Trump agnostics like me. But so I would come up with things like Jewish janitors and overweight Victoria's Secret models. Yeah. Now, you know, flash forward 20 some years, we have overweight Victoria's Secret models. And so I think that's a celebration. I think that there's a reason why they pick Lizzo. They're celebrating that look. And this is, again, just, you want to see the inmates running asylum. Look at any Democratic Party. I mean, it's indistinguishable from what you would have seen 50 years ago in a party room at a mental institution.
Yeah.
Except it's, you know, they're more flamboyant and they have, you know, more expensive costumes and more tattoos and they're more obese, obviously, but it's sad.
At this point, Don, if you're going to go that route, just bring out Diddy, right? Just bring out Diddy at the Democratic convention. Just have him come on and, you know, introduce Joe Biden. Let's go all out if we're going to just, like, who is advising these people? Like, what is this about? Like, I mean, come on. But back to the bridge real quick that I do want to bring up. There were and I want to bring this up because it's a pet peeve of mine with the alt media and what's going on, right? And people did die, right? And they just so happened to be immigrants that came here from Central America and from Mexico, from El Salvador, from Honduras, you know? And they came here and they were working, making an honest living, trying to feed their families, man. Been here for years, trying to be productive members of society. Keep that in mind. Next time you hear, oh, it's a freaking invasion of people that don't want to freaking work and that want to live off the government. That's a political talking point that we're all being dragged into. I'm not saying it's a good thing that these people are coming over here. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is the intentions of the majority are very different. You're always going to find bad apples in every stack, in the alt media, in Republicans, in the alt-right, in the Democrats, in any ethnic group. You're always going to find somebody that's here to do nefarious things. Always. In generality, talking in general terms, these people are coming here to try to do something productive for themselves, for their people, and try to give back to the country that's given them this. And they're very grateful to be here. And they all died. And there was about, eight or six of them. One of them survived, actually, God bless. But these people had families and they're dead now, you know, but they came from Central America and Mexico, and they were here doing jobs that people don't want to do. Don talks about this all the time. Why are they bringing, nobody wants to do these jobs, right?
And, I would want to know what they were being paid. If I'm an investigative reporter, I say, what were these guys being paid? They're working at 1 a.m. Were they getting night shift differential? What were they getting? What were they even paid? And I bet you it wasn't very much. Let's put it that way.
Right. No, I couldn't. I'm positive. right? Yeah. It couldn't have been that much, you know, at all. But they're doing it. They're doing the job because well, no one else wants to do it anyway. Thoughts on that, Tony, before we take off, before we go to something else? I'm sorry.
Well, I think that you're right about the majority of the people that are coming here. They're looking for a way out of the countries from whence they came. We know that. But there's a giant chunk of them that have no interest in our country or our values or whatever that is anymore. They have no interest in that. And they're weaponized. They're weaponized by forces that are NGOs, the United Nations, the George Soroses of the world that are using these people to destroy our border. It's Cloward and Piven internationally. So on a micro level, as somebody who's a Christian, you want to help people. That's just bottom line. On a macro level, you have to understand that nations have borders. There has to be rule of law. There has to be a way to sort people out, to have, because every nation has its own self-interest. To survive, you have to look for your own self-interest and what's going to benefit you. I mean, Mexico's got to do what's best for Mexico. A lot of time, what's best for Mexico is to dump its poorest people northward. That's what they do to stave off revolution. A lot of these South American countries do the same thing. I will agree with those who say that the United States has caused a lot of that instability because of things like the blowback of things like the Monroe Doctrine of the early 19th century.
Right.
That has caused a lot of the, you know, our intervention in South America that has caused a lot of the issues that they're having, whether it's overthrows or just intervention in general. So, yeah, it's not just black and white. And there's a lot of gray here, but you have to have borders. You have to have the rule of law. The elites whether they're Republican or Democrat or the ruling class, the duopoly, they benefit from this pouring of people over the border. The Republicans are going to raise money and do nothing, and the Democrats will inherit the earth.
Well, I agree with about 90% of that, man. I disagree with a large chunk of people here that I think it's not as big as it's made out to be. And it's made out that way for political reasons. And I do want to get into this gentleman from Venezuela that was talking all types of nonsense.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
I want to talk about that. And Gammy's in the chat. What's up, Gammy? How you doing? I know you're going to see exactly what I mean by this. If anyone knows Spanish, they know what was actually said. And then you see the headlines and you hear what Steve Bannon is talking about. And it's like, wow, these people are really, really. But it's a political game. It's warfare. This is what we're doing. And all the dirty tricks are there and people are lending themselves out to it for some reason. It is what it is, man. The bridge itself, I don't see overwhelming conspiracy going on, but I could be very wrong, right? I just don't see the evidence for it. It's circulating throughout the alt media, and I just don't see where, besides speculation. And it's fine to speculate. It's fine to investigate, right? And we have to raise the questions, right? Because otherwise they're not going to get raised, and people are going to get away with what they're going to get away with. I just don't see it right now. It could have been a cyber attack. I don't know. But I don't know where the evidence is for that. Okay. Don, let's talk about RFK before I forget. What did you think about the vice presidential pick?
I didn't like it at all. If Kat is out there listening, Carol, I know she disagrees with me. But, I think
all American VA vibe.
Oh, what's going on? Hold on for a second. This is my end.
Interference trial, federal prosecutors.
That's it. I'm sorry about that. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, it was a very Trumpian pick. Mm-hmm. It's a very Trump-like pick where it didn't make any sense. Now, she's made some comments maybe about the links between autism and vaccines, but I understand she comes from a big pharma, big science, and I guess she was a trophy wife of Sergey Brin. She's the ex-wife of the co-founder of Google.
Right.
Certainly, you know, it just seems like a pick that also doesn't. I don't see what it gains. It just as much as Mike Pence, I don't think gained Trump anything. I don't see where it's a good strategic move, especially when he was trotting out, much like Trump does, trotting out some exciting choices: Aaron Rodgers, Rand Paul, Jesse Ventura, things that would have kind of shook things up. And then who is this? I mean, it's not like there's any name recognition there. What votes is he getting by doing this? And he's catching a lot of hell for it. Because it does, from both sides, because the establishment side is saying she said some crazy things. But I don't get it, but I don't understand a lot of what RFK Jr. has done. I certainly don't understand his stance on Israel and hanging around with Rabbi Shmuley, which I guess we can – he's in the news again, I guess, with Candace Owens and all that. There's a lot of stuff going on, but that guy is an absolute – he's like a crisis actor rabbi or something. He sells butt plugs with his daughter or something. I mean, it's like – what kind of religious guy does that? But so – you know, this very strange thing's going on, but no, I wasn't happy at all with the RFK Jr. pick.
Hello?
Yeah.
You're coming through, Billy.
Oh, all right. What was it that you just said, Don? I'm sorry.
No, I said I wasn't happy at all with the RFK Jr. pick. I'll be right back.
All right, cool, man. No. She apparently had an affair with Elon Musk as well. You know, I guess she's a woman, you know, and that's why they picked her, right? The optics and everything. I guess that's why she was picked. People are going to vote for RFK Jr. And I think they're going to come out of the Trump stock, whomever wants to doesn't want to vote for Trump, you know, but still won't vote for Biden. They'll vote for RFK, I think. What's up, Tony? What did you think of the pick?
Well, lackluster. I mean, just kind of going over it before the show. And it's a failure that a lot of candidates make, it seems, in the modern era or era. If you go back to the 1960s, George Wallace, he had Curtis LeMay, man. Right. He picked Curtis LeMay. This is the guy that firebombed Tokyo. He was a crazy, cold warrior person, you know, like really setting the stage. Remember, '92, Don may know who this is. In '92, Ross Perot picked this Navy admiral. And I forget who the guy was. And he was just kind of straightforward. There wasn't anything about him. He was just kind of a stone figure.
Was it Stockdale, I think, maybe?
Yes. And he picked this Navy admiral, and it was kind of like, who is this guy? I remember he was in the vice presidential debate.
Yeah,
that was the one time somebody broke through, aside from Teddy Roosevelt in 1912, that there was a third party candidate that was on the main stage with everybody else. So you would think that RFK Jr. would want some headline. That's the one thing that you could use to grab headlines, and it doesn't cost you much, is to pick somebody that would just get more eyes and more cameras on. Yeah. I wonder why they don't. It's kind of like when Trump picked Pence. Remember, they had the whole all of us were waiting. Those of us I was a big Trump supporter back then, and I was looking at all the picks, and my brother and I were talking about this, and he had people coming to Trump Tower. Newt Gingrich was coming out. I was thinking, wow, there's so much he could choose from. And they drop Mike Pence, and I go, why? You know, like, it's just – and then, fast forward all these years, and Mike Pence doesn't even endorse Trump for president. I mean, that's the kind of people that these candidates are picking these days. It's really baffling when you think about the game of politics to get more cameras, more op-eds, more exposure. Why do you pick people that – I already forgot her name.
Yeah, no, and this is Nicole Shanahan, I think, but she – But the idea is that much as I don't know if you've heard, you know, people think I'm joking about Trump maybe picking Nikki Haley as vice president, but he will do whatever is the worst case scenario for his supporters. That's what he always does. And you see they're trotting out the name of little Marco Rubio.
Yeah,
he would be. That's Trump 101. He picks Marco Rubio. That would be that's 4D chess got written all over it. That's Trumpenstein. So RFK Jr. has a little of, Trumpenstein in him here doing this because, I mean, I guess he couldn't have picked Aaron Rodgers maybe because he's, you know, an active NFL player. But Rand Paul would have been a great – or Tulsi Gabbard would have been great picks. He picks a who? What? Like Tony said, he's already forgotten her name. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that disillusions people because I still listen to RFK and I still get excited as long as he's not talking about Israel. Because he sounds so educated and so much better and more intelligent than, I mean, they can't let him in a debate with Trump and Biden. They can't because it will expose it. Because it would be like a person with an active mind going and debating a couple, you know, people that are losing it in a nursing home. Because, I mean, Trump's starting to lose it too. He's tweeting out things that don't make any sense. And the words are, and obviously Biden doesn't even know where he is. So they can't. RFK Jr. would make them look so bad. So but by their own rules, he's supposedly polling in 20 some percents. They have to let him in. So I think that's why you're hearing both Trump and Biden say they're not going to debate because they don't want to debate him.
I think if RFK didn't have this dysphonia issue going on, man, it might be a problem, you know, for the establishment candidates. Because otherwise, he's got it all together. It looks like. I mean, I don't agree with a lot of the stuff I do agree with some of it, you know, but who agrees with everything? I mean, compared to our options is what I'm saying. Compared to, you know, two guys that are clearly losing it, he looks like the obvious pick, right? And if he didn't have boy, let me tell you.
Trump, you know, Trump wouldn't be able to stop himself from making fun of it. He might just start trying to do an impersonation right in the middle of it. So, I mean, that's just, I think however you look at RFK Jr. would look better in comparison. Especially if Trump did something like that, which he probably would.
Trump already made fun of Biden's stutter, and nobody seems to give a damn. So I think he could do that. He could stand up and make fun of the dysphonia issue that RFK is having, and people would just go along with it. Oh yeah, look at that. And they go, that's literally where we are. The guy is selling Bibles.
Yes.
I don't know what to say anymore.
Jason Whitlock, you know, I love Jason Whitlock, and he's a big Trump supporter still somehow. But he was rare because Jason is very, he stresses biblical view all the time and everything. And he's trying to reform himself because he was, you know, I used to spend all the time in the strip clubs and stuff. And he's trying to, lead a biblical life. But he was really upset about that. And like he said, you know, but this is everybody that calls Trump a grifter, everything he does plays into that stereotype. I mean, everything he does, he's reading from a script because the logical choice, especially since he just got like an $8 billion windfall from some company or something, or something ridiculous like that. Why don't you just take these Bibles to your rallies and give them out? It's fine. Okay. If you want to have the God Bless the USA Bible or whatever, I mean, that's kind of unreal, but okay, I can see combining politics with it at your rallies, but give them out to people charging $60 for it. It's ridiculous.
No. It's his favorite book, Don. It's his favorite book.
Yeah, I'm sure he can quote lots of verses in it too.
He likes 1 Corinthians, okay? 1 or 2. That's a real quote, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
That's a real quote. I like the 1.
I got the 1 Corinthians. The 1 Corinthians. It's about liberty. Regardless. Hold on for a second. I do want to get the clip. We have to play that here and get reactions on it. But my boy here, C-130, what's going on? How you doing?
Yeah,
doesn't seem a herky bird. C-1. I know about C-130. I used to jump out of C-130s.
He don't seem to like me very much. It's all right. What's up, buddy? How really? You doing? Tyson is going to hire about 40,000 of BRV's buddies. So this guy's clearly been listening to the War Room with Steve Bannon. Kind of know where you're coming from. I listen every day, buddy. Every freaking day, okay? I listen to the opposition, so I know where you're coming from. Racist much, kid? Take it easy, bud. It's all right, man. Just giving an opinion, bro. You know, I'm trying to give the other side of things here, okay? Because kind of gets lost here in the alt media, right? So that's all. Regardless, we're happy that you're here. At least I am. You know, I can't speak for the rest of the panel. But
I mean, Herky Bird, he lets me talk every week. I'm down here in Texas, right wing extremist Southern boy, you know, and Billy's my best friend.
They don't got a problem with you, Tone. You know, they got a problem.
Well, you got to have tolerance. And this is the difference. If people really have a tolerance for other opinions, like I'm a civil libertarian. Billy Ray's been very supportive of me. Obviously, we disagree on some stuff now, but you know, it is what it is, man. Variety. If everybody thought the same, we're preaching to the choir, and you know, so you gotta hear different views, and you know, that's I certainly if we had you know, I don't know, Chuck E. Schumer on this panel, if he would come on the show or whatever, I would still let him, you know, respect what he was saying. I mean, I would understand what he's doing probably and how he's profiting from it, but you gotta support. You either support free speech or you don't.
And Donna, I would say about 90% of what we think is aligned. We've been doing shows together for about 8 years.
Yes, we have.
You know, it's so we align on 90% of things. I would say the same with Tony. You know, it's really what's happened to the alt media, and this has been done by design. You know, and that's what I am trying to stress. Whether you agree with me or not is something different, but I'm trying to point out what's been done, and there's symptoms of it. There's evidence for it. You know, it is what it is. What it is. I do hope you find a job, Mr. Herky, whatever. What was his name? C-130.
C-130 Herky.
Yeah. I hope you get a job, and I hope you have a job. You know, but
yeah,
this has the people are an innocent bystander here, man, in my opinion. And that includes us and everybody that's listening. You know, we are the innocent bystander and we're being manipulated against each other. That's the basis of all of this, true. Is keeping up at each other's throats. So, I mean, I'm just trying to point out certain things.
Oh, he says he's retired. Okay, that's good. I'm glad we're not there because there are a lot of people. But he's speaking for people. I thought he was looking for jobs himself, but he's not. But he's speaking again for a lot of people out there. Mm-hmm. That again, Trump is tapping into that. He's just not, he's not going to do anything because he didn't do anything when he was in office for 4 years. Mm-hmm. But these are the people that are impacted by immigration. And I wrote about immigration. The way I look at it is like, I don't blame the immigrants, although it is getting hard to understand some of these males of fighting age coming over. And I don't really know what's going on there, but they're clearly being exploited. And the people should be looking again at the authorities. Why, like I said, what we should just abolish. I'm with AOC. Well, let's abolish ICE because whatever we're paying them, what is the point? They're not doing their job. Yeah. So what are we paying them for? To escort people around and to, if what we're told is fly them to different locations and give them shelter in hotels when we have American citizens sleeping on the street? That, I mean, I don't understand. This goes into, I was just writing a Substack about the squatters, which is a logical extension of this, really, because if you're letting people come across the border without guarding the border to your sovereign nation,
what's the difference?
What's to stop them from entering people's houses? And let's carry this squatter. If you have like that woman in New York that was arrested for changing the locks, and she inherited her parents' home when they died, and she didn't get there right away to put it on the market. In the meantime, some squatter moves in there. And because he was there for more than 30 days, the law sides with him. She was arrested for changing the locks. I mean, there's something. I mean, that's what I say about insane. This is insane. And I say to me, every carjacker in prison should have they should have a retrial, because if you're getting in a car, what are you doing other than squatting in a car? Hey, look, I've got possession of it now. So the law is with me, right? I mean, what's the difference, right?
Right, right.
Same thing.
Go ahead, done.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm saying you covet your neighbor's wife. Hey, you can go get her and get her in your home. It's your wife now. I mean, this kind of thinking, if you extend it to that, obviously anybody, if you had a sane legal system, sane authorities everywhere from cops on up, all the first thing would ask, okay, look, let's see the documents. Much as you ask for your papers, if you think somebody's here illegally, same kind of thing. If you're in a house and you don't belong there, okay, if the woman or somebody can produce, okay, this is the deed, my name's on the deed, or my name's on the lease or whatever, end of story. Squatter's evicted. But that's not how it works, because we don't have sane authorities. And that's the problem with everything. And that's why people are just, why the country is really ripe for a real, if Trump, had any real Hitler qualities, they would be ripe for that, because there's so much stuff that anybody can point to about this and people nod their heads. Yeah, that's right. Why aren't they doing anything about it?
All right. Tone, thoughts on that. And then I'll play a clip. I do want to play the Trump Bible clip. We need to see that. It's hilarious. But thoughts on this whole squatter, I'm going to take your home shit, this whole deal that's gone down. Apparently this guy from Venezuela, and he's got caught. He got caught. He's arrested, right? He got deported.
He's got arrested by ICE.
Right, right, right. And they're talking about.
And he's on his way to Martha's Vineyard.
I know I'm going to get hate for this, but don't make me laugh. Stop making me laugh.
Yeah.
So, listen, I was listening to, again, Steve Bannon on my way to work. This is the first exposure I had to this. And they laid out an entire thing, and I was listening and walking down the street. So I was halfway listening, halfway not, and they were like, oh my God, the things that were said, that you could take the for sale sign off and just walk in and it's my house now and we're taking over. And I'm like, damn. And I heard the guy talking in Spanish, but really I didn't pay any attention to it. Like, let me rewind this and listen to it again. And then I'm like, wait a minute. He didn't say the majority of the shit they said. He said, like, I mean, if you don't believe me, 1:30. If you don't believe me, anybody that take what he said and put it in Google Translate. You don't have to believe me. And then listen to the headlines. And I mean, watch, read the headlines and listen to what Steve Bannon had to say. And the Epoch Times and all these people had to say about, even my wife came to me to, she was like, did you hear what this guy said? That's outrageous. And I was, and I had just finished listening to it. I'm like, then I played it for her. And she was like, oh, that's not what he said. He's misinformed, you know, and he did say some inflammatory things that I would have changed, but the majority of it was very, very different. We're going to play it here. I'll play it. And then I'll translate, but don't believe me. Take it and throw at least the clip that was played on the War Room, which is all they played. If he said more, I don't know. Right. But, take it and dump it in Google Translate and see what was said. What's up, Tony?
Well, we were talking earlier about a giant swath of people that have malintent. I mean, even the goofball George W. Bush, when he was president, he slipped and actually gave a real statistic, which was about 1 in 12 people who cross the border illegally have a criminal record. Okay, that might not be all violent criminals or anything like that, but that's 1 in 12. Well, if you translate it into the 30 million people, that's millions of people. So that we got lots of people. That's a standing army. That's larger. That's larger than most standing armies in powerful geopolitical nations. OK, so I think that if you take a step back, there's the good and the bad with them. Like, we're not going to it isn't the people themselves aren't making the decision to come here and destroy cultures or anything or wreck the economy. They're weaponized by, like I said earlier, weaponized by NGOs and geopolitical globalist forces that want to reshape our demographics. And then I think also it's a psychological thing. We watch the border. We look at our military, can't do anything. The best that any red state governor can do is bus them somewhere else and think that's scoring political points while our cities crumble. It's a multifaceted weapon, immigration is. And it really gets to the heart of everything Don wrote about in Survival of the Richest. Even look at C-130 Herky Jerk said the thing is about the whole issue with trades in Alabama when he moved there and the trades being taken over by. Yes. That is a real consequence of the migration and movement of peoples. It has consequences on wages. It has consequences on economies. And again, it has very little to do with anything with race or culture. It has to do with this country doesn't have rule of law anymore. And why would you respect it if you're that kid who comes on and says, we're just going to go stay in a house. Nobody's going to do anything. Why am I playing by rules that if you're not going to enforce any rules, I'm not going to play by them. So
I don't blame the squatters. I don't blame the migrants. I don't blame any of these people because they're not making the laws. The authorities are the ones that are allowing this nonsense. You know, you've got, I read they're starting the knockout game again in New York City because the knockout game's exclusively black. No one criticizes it. Apparently if you're going to go for some reason you want to punch women in the head out of nowhere, why do you have to sucker punch them? Are you that big a pussy that you can't walk up to some? I mean, it's bad enough that you want to punch them, but they always sucker punch them. So you're afraid of a 75-year-old Asian woman? You really, I mean, what a big tough guy you are. But this one guy has done it, I don't know how many times he's been arrested for it. And every time he's let out without bail. Meanwhile, in Washington, D.C., you have political prisoners there have been there for over three years and never were allowed bail, let alone be released. This country is absolutely broken. And I have no argument with the anarchists anymore. I'm three quarters of the way to anarchy myself. Because how can anybody respect any authority in America 2.0?
All right, let me try to play this, man. Really, to be honest, let me just preface this with, I don't know what to do about this anymore. You know, reading the comments and reading what people have to say. You know, I don't know. It has to, you can lead a horse to water is the greatest thing, you know, that anybody ever said, but you can't make them drink. People need to realize it for themselves. And there's nothing I can say. And I need to come to terms with that there's nothing I can say and nothing I can show that's going to change people's minds at this point. You know, people have to change their own minds about this, you know, and Tony said that these people are being weaponized, and that's absolutely true. And that it's the most true statement out of all of this is the weaponization of human beings, you know, that are being brought over here. Who's letting them in, man? They're being brought over here, right? This is a very simple fix. You shut down the border. It's over. It's over, right? But they're being let in here, and the conditions in Mexico and Central America are a direct reflection of American foreign policy to those places. If you don't want to believe that, that is on you. But it's the truth. You believe what you want to believe, right? I see women on the train every single day selling candy. Women with their babies strapped to their back, right? Mexicans or Central Americans coming out here trying to do something. So it's not just men being let in here. You know, there's a ton of stuff going on, and we need to realize the best I can say is that we are all the same freaking people, man. You understand? We might be different as far as culture goes, and we might look different, you know, but ultimately we all admire each other. We're all the same, ultimately. And to start pointing fingers at ourselves isn't going to accomplish anything. We need to address the root cause. We talk about Rockefeller medicine, and we talk about, oh my God, Rockefeller medicine. They only treat the symptoms. They don't address the cure. Well, take that same logic and apply that to what's going on with immigration. Apply that to what's going on with the people of Mexico and Central America and South America and the people of the United States that are struggling to make ends meet. They're addressing the symptoms to make it look like they're doing something when in all actuality, nothing is being done about any of this because they want to keep us at each other's throats.
And Tony makes the point all the time about the Republicans that just talk about it and do nothing. And again, Billy, this is an easy fix. Again, if I was in office the first day, I start bringing the troops back from the 150 countries all around the world. You don't need a wall. You don't need barbed wire fences. You don't need any of that shit. You just put a tiny fraction of those troops and you line them up the entire breadth of however many places people are coming across. And that's all you have to do. Now, you may have to make a moral distinction. You don't want to shoot people. But I just think seeing those troops there, unless these unarmed people are willing to try to fight their way through, you know, militarized units, I don't know. But I think they'll get the message. And the other thing you would do is you sign a presidential. Some federal judge would probably overturn it, but you try to tie citizenship status to government benefits. So let them know if they come over here, they're not going to get these benefits if they're not here, if they came in illegally. And I think you would just have them self-deported. And then you'd have ICE as long as you let it exist. You go to Home Depot and all the places, wherever you live, you know where the people gather for day work. You send them out there with their ice jackets on. And again, they'll get the message. Hey, can we see? Are you here? We have sufficient to believe you're not here legally. It's very easy fix. They're not doing any of that. Instead, they're flying them around countries. They're apparently paying them more money than the average social. So, yeah, I don't know if that's true or not, but talk about a crime, paying them more than $2,200 a month. With a lot of Social Security recipients don't get that free health care. Nobody gets free health care. You got people that are going bankrupt because they can't afford healthcare and housing. Again, you have people crapping on the streets and living in tents that are citizens. And nobody talks about putting them in a school gym or anything like that. So this is the cut. But nobody, and Trump sure isn't talking about it because, he's Trumpenstein. He can't articulate any of this. He might just say, do this day one, and Joe Biden did when he actually deported fewer people than Obama. So it's a huge problem. But everybody on both sides is involved. This is an easy fix, and the problem is they don't want to admit any of our solutions are easy. So that way you'll tolerate them and being in power and not being able to fix easy problems that it should be easy to fix.
All right, let me play this, and then we're getting out of here. We can play the Trump Bible thing. I mean, it's really, really appropriate for Easter, you know, like, I mean, my God, listen, I can't even find a stupid clip. Let's go. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's freaking classic. It really is. But let me try to play this from War Room today.
Back off this. Be proud of it. We're proud of it. I'm proud of the fact we cancel everywhere. We don't care.
Hold on.
And we're over the top this morning. Yeah, that's nothing. We're junior varsity when it comes to president
ferocity they're being shown.
I wish I could find it.
Homeless vets or people on wells in government handouts of every single kind. And the only thing, what he's saying,
this is what you hear on
going, America has squatter rights.
He says, here we go.
Advocating for that. And that you pay credit cards, right? Because again, we know we have America
familiar.
All right. All right. Here it is.
Sherpers have the smartest guys I know, Joshua Phillip over Epoch Times and Revolver's Darren Beatty. We're going to walk through some of the catastrophes. To think that we're even talking about this in the United States of America in and of itself shows you why Biden and the usurpers have got to go.
Placing this squarely on Biden, it's political. This is very political what's going on here. And listen to how they describe this, what was said. And then I'll tell you what was actually said. And you don't have to believe me, but go ahead.
Bring in Josh. Josh Phillip, thank you for joining us. Love you. Of course, you know. The Epic Times is the best broadsheet in this country. It's amazing. But I want to play. Do we have the cold open? Can we play his clip? Let's play his clip, and then I want to bring in Josh.
Mi gente, he pensado invadir una casa en United States.
So that's the first problem, right?
He got a house in the United States. I don't know what else, but
he said invade. He said my people. I've thought about invading a home in the United States. Let's listen to the rest of this.
Ya que me enteré que existe una ley que dice que si una casa no está habitada, podemos expropiarla.
He's like, now that I found out that there are laws that say that if a house isn't inhabited, we can go there and use it and do things with it. That's what he said, right? He says more. Hold on.
Sí, muchachos, aquí en United States también se aplica la de invasión de terreno. Y creo que ese será mi próximo negocio. Invadir casas abandonadas, ya que me he buscado unos códigos.
Now that's the key there, right? And he says more, but he says, invade homes that have been abandoned. Abandoned homes. Right. Not that this is right. I'm not saying that this is right. I'm not saying that he's been that he has the right information. But what was said in the media, completely different. And we'll listen to a little bit of what Steve Bannon had analysis on this. Completely different from what was said. Hold on.
Mis amigos africanos y me dijeron que ya llevan como 7 casas expropiadas. Y como dice el dicho, papi, hay que buscar la vuelta. Y la vuelta ahorita mismo es invadir casas.
He says, we have to find a way around what's going on. He's like, we have to find something to do, and this is what we need to do. This is the only alternative we have.
Ya que nos encontramos en situación de calle, y es la única manera que tenemos para no vivir en la calle y no ser una carga pública.
Key, never mentioned. In the alt media, never mentioned in the mainstream media, and certainly not mentioned by Steve Bannon. He says we need to do this because we're on the street and we don't want to be a burden on the people that are here. That's what he said. Demi, am I lying? If I'm lying, please tell me from this clip. Somebody take it and put it on Google Translate and tell me that I'm lying. There's more.
Pichi, la ley dice que las casas abandonadas, deterioradas, en mal estado, podemos llegar y repararlas, vivir en ella y si podemos venderla.
Houses, he says. The law says. This is what he said. There's probably no law that's. I don't know. I know there's squatters' rights. I don't know about any of this that he's talking about. But he says the law says that if a home is abandoned. In bad shape, in need of repair, in seriously bad shape, we can go there, we can repair it, and we can live in it and we can sell it. This is what he's saying. Hold on.
Pedir créditos con ella. ¿Qué dicen ustedes?
Then he says, what say you? You know, this is what we need to do. I don't agree with this, right? I don't think there's a law for it. Even if there is a law, the law needs to be changed, right, for something like that.
Right.
But he's not saying we're going to walk into your house and take it. He's not saying we're going to take for sale signs, rip them off of brand new homes and live there. He's not saying we're going to take it by force. None of that. What he's saying is we don't have another alternative. We're living on the street. We don't want to be a burden on the people of the United States. There's a law here that says that we can take dilapidated homes and rebuild them. Let's do that. And let's try to climb out of this is literally what he is saying. Now let's hear what Steve Bannon had to say and the folks, the good folks at the Epoch Times.
That'll be just Trump's. That'll be the only ad he does. That's spiteful, mean, homunculus.
Call them right. A homunculus.
Looks like Golem.
What's homunculus?
I don't know. Biden brought into your country.
It's the spawn of something.
Rising you right now in your country. Your country. The country you fought for. The country you, your parents, your grandparents built. And I hope African-Americans and Hispanic citizens are embracing this. Joshua Phillip, what is this mean, spiteful twerp saying in that? Can you translate that to me, Papa? Was it me, Papa Biden, his daddy? Biden's his daddy? Yeah, well,
that was never said. My Papa Biden. This is Steve Bannon just popping off at the mouth. Hold on. There's a little more, and then we'll get out. Just want you to hear this.
What this guy is saying, he's advocating, and this guy has 500,000 followers, you know, on his social media, right? This guy is not some just minor figure. He has a pretty big following. He's telling other illegals to come to the United States, and he's saying what you can do is go into the homes of Americans, you know, that are for sale. If you see a for sale sign, you can go into the homes, take that for sale sign off, and say it is your house now. He's advocating for people to go and steal the homes of Americans. Because, again, we know we have squatter rights in this country, unfortunately. And because
it gets worse. Take my word for it. Don't take my word for it. Go listen to the episodes.
Billy, I appreciate you doing it because I took 4 years of high school Spanish and I know un poco solamente. You know, I don't nice. Speak much Look at all. That. But I caught a few little things here and there. But this is common. A lot of people that follow me love Hitler. I don't know why, but they just do. And they claim constantly that he was misquoted all the time. And, you know, we don't speak German. So he's waving his arms around. I don't know what the hell he's saying. And he's something like Putin today. We're at the mercy of those who are doing the translating. So people like Billy Ray know what he's saying, but you know, they have platforms like this. So yeah, that has been misrepresented. But again, I don't blame him anyhow. It's easy to blame because he looks angry and everything, and he's an angry foreigner and everything. So he's going to get people worked up at him. But the problem is, it wouldn't matter what he said. If the system wasn't so screwed up, right, then there wouldn't be any possibility of him doing something like that. And if there are abandoned homes everywhere. Now, I don't think, you know, migrants should be given the first choice out of them. But for a long time, I said, you've got abandoned businesses and buildings that can't be. So there should be an easy way to figure out how to put people up there that don't have a home. But again, we don't have anybody in this country that can think like that. So I appreciate you playing that because there is a distinction between it's and I trust your translation.
I know you trust me, Don. We're friends, but you don't have to go put it up on Google
yeah,
Translate.
Yeah.
Nowhere did he say take down the for sale
sign.
Nowhere did he say I'm going to steal the homes of Americans. Nowhere. And the interpretation that they give gets even worse. We just don't have time for it. But nowhere did he say any of this stuff. Nowhere did he say my Papa Biden. Okay, he might be wrong. You know what the guy was saying and what he thinks he can do is wrong, right? And if anybody's gonna get first crack at this, like you said, it should be Americans, right? America first. I do agree with America first. Yeah. I just don't agree with Donald Trump, right? Because he's not America first, regardless of that.
Well, he doesn't agree with it either. So
my reason for bearing this out was just to point out how we are being manipulated and to what end.
Yeah, that's okay? Right.
that these people do not have your best interest at heart. They do not want to report the truth. They want to report what gets them ratings. They want to report what gets you to give them your money and your ear holes. That's what they want. They care about nothing else, and they will distort the facts as much as they need to in order to do it.
That's right.
Steve Bannon is an absolute piece of filth. Sometimes I sit and I listen to him because he's a smart guy, and I'm like, you know what? Maybe he really believes this stuff. You know, maybe maybe it's just an ideological difference. You know, maybe I'm reading too much into it. And then I hear this, and I'm like, no, he's just the worst. It's just like I couldn't believe what I was listening to and how it's been misrepresented in the media in order to get us at each other's throats.
And you're exactly right. And that's the problem, is that if the people that are opposed to this, and everyone should be opposed to the way that our immigration policies are, they should be looking at the people that the immigrants don't set the immigration policy. They're not just like if you go around Florida and Texas and all those places, it wasn't illegal immigrants that said, hey, put up all the signs in Spanish, make the ballots bilingual. Yeah. That was all dumbass white people that are running things. So, I mean, that's where you should be directing your anger. If that guy really had said what they said, he still wouldn't have any power to do it in a country that was run, you know, that actually had sensible laws.
Absolutely.
So again, their anger, and he should be able to, I think he's been arrested or something. But they should be able to control this. But you're exactly right. You shouldn't, and that's the problem. If somebody's speaking a different language, whether it's Hitler or this guy or Putin or anybody, we're subject to the people that are translating it. We don't know if he's really saying what he's saying. So I'm glad you caught it.
Well, that's it, man. Tone, what do you have to say? And then we're getting up out of here, buddy.
Well, it seems that the GOP and the Trumpians now have their Willie Horton. So or hundreds of Willie Hortons. Anybody knows anything about the 1988 election with George H.W. Bush and Lee Atwater, the late Lee Atwater, who was a political genius, saw that Dukakis had paroled a black man named Willie Horton early, was being magnanimous or something, and let him out early. He went and killed somebody. And so they flashed Willie Horton's face, and then they ran a campaign commercial where there's a black man entering prison, and he looks up at the camera, you know, like as he's going through the gate of this revolving gate, and he looks up. So this is nothing new. They love this stuff. And people that want to get mad at this guy, I mean, I look at it and I go, this is just a symptom of the cowardice that's baked into the ruling class. The people that run our country don't love this country. Okay, they hate this country. They hate everything about our borders, our history, our heroes, everything. They're just stewards for a much larger agenda. I think that's pretty clear. They say it. So, I mean, look, when we get to these weeds about, and I don't think it's a victimless, I don't care if the house is abandoned, somebody owns it somewhere. It's probably some old lady whose husband passed away and she can't upkeep it. I'm telling you, like, small houses are mostly owned by poor people that maybe they had two or three back in the days when you could go get a home loan for investment property for a normal human being. Sometimes they dilapidate. Sometimes, I mean, I bought houses when I was just out of the Army for, you know, $30,000, you know, back in the 2004 range. So there's a lot that can go into that and go into abandoned house, but that's a sideshow. This guy is a symptom of the open door policy that we have. He's been invited. He's been rewarded. Anybody like him's being rewarded. So just like in the military, if you don't lock your footlocker and somebody steals the contents of your footlocker, you get punished first. The person who didn't secure it gets punished first. It's not like, oh, we're going to hunt for you got wrong. No, you didn't secure your things. That's the first person who's face down doing push-ups, first person who's getting punished. Then it's a secondary thing to go after the person who did it. So I look at this in that similar fashion. And this is an easy target to get mad at somebody. And again, what the guy said is not exactly what was displayed, but they'll just use it. And so I understand what Billy's doing is he's showing you this is a mind control political tactic that doesn't talk about the issue. It only makes you have so much more ire and outrage at this particular guy. Right. That's what Billy's doing. He's not sticking up for the guy. He's showing you how this is a tool of mind control to get you to bypass the people who actually let you down and put you down, sold you out. By the way, I'm not going to the polls again in 2024. I already voted in 2016 for a secure border. I didn't get one. I voted in 2016 for that. So I didn't get one. And I'm not going to go back and double down and do it, triple down and do it again.
All right. Beautiful. Thank you, Tone. Appreciate that, man. That's it. I next week, if we're here, I might not be around next week, Tone. I don't know. I might be in Philadelphia. Not sure. But if we don't do it next week, we'll do it the week after that. I'm definitely playing the Trump. Maybe it'll be the new intro for America Unplugged, Trump selling Bibles. We need to support the guy. We need to American Bible, the greatest Bible ever. It's his favorite book.
Yes. I saw the speech. It was great.
It was freaking fantastic, man. I mean, there's several. I mean, you know,
it was a perfect speech.
Everybody knows I don't like the guy, but damn it, man, that was entertaining as hell. It was incredible. Incredible. All right. Let's get out of here. Tony Arterburn, tell the people where they can find you.
Arterburn.news is my website. Wise Wolf Gold and Silver, Wolfpack.gold. Go check out our monthly membership programs. I got a cool announcement next week. So look for the feeds. There's something I'm going to do. I'm going to do a big sale too. We're going to do some promos because I'm flying out to Hollywood.
Damn.
And I won't tell you what it's for, but I'll make an announcement next week. I'll be in Hollywood, California.
Damn. He's going to be filming movies out there, man. It's going to be fantastic. Godzilla's coming out soon. He's going to be in Godzilla.
Stop ruining it. It's Godzilla. Okay.
Don Jeffries, the legendary. What's up?
Well, again, Substack is the place you can find me. It's the only place I'm not being shadow banned. Donald Jeffries at Substack.com, named I Protest, just like my weekly live streaming show here. And please, if you're not following me on Twitter, follow me at Don Jeffries. I think the shadow ban, is being lifted there, but I still hear things from people. So let me know if you're trying to follow me and it's not letting you follow me or something, because I have suspicions of that. But anyhow, please, I try to get more followers there. And Substack is the first place. I appreciate it. If you're not subscribing, please subscribe.
Right. Fantastic. My name is Billy Ray Valentine. Hey, I got a barn burner of a show coming in a little bit. My man, Mr. Wayne McCroy is joining me along with my friend Jason Lingram. It's been a bit. And the return of Crow 777. It's been a long time since I spoke to that gentleman, and we're going to talk about the eclipse, because why not, right? Wayne put the whole thing together. Thank you, Wayne. I appreciate you. I just asked Wayne. I'm like, Wayne, come do this. And he's like, well, why doesn't everybody do it? I'm like, well, you're right. Let's just get it all done. So that's coming in a couple of hours. We're going to film it, but I'm not putting it out till next week on theinfinitefringe.podbeam.com. I do want to put up the episode I did with Neil, but I can't seem to get it downloaded off of Rockfin. Maybe you could help me, Tony, with that. I don't know if you can or can't, but if you can, great. Theinfinitefringe.podbeam.com, America Unplugged at 12 p.m. Eastern here every Saturday. We appreciate you guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for having an open mind. Thank you for keeping your eyes and your ears open and your hearts and your souls. We appreciate you. We are all people here at the end of the day. And while I may sound different and look a little bit different, man, we're more the same than we are different. And let's not let these differences come in the way of our productivity and our ascents to heaven. Oh, no, I'm getting all stuffed up. I'm not crying. I'm getting stuffed up. We're getting up out of here. Tone, you want to play us out?
Can't play. I can hum us out if you like.
Happy Easter.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. See you next week, guys. End of transmission.